Friday Shore. And the pizzas are down. And we're in the topic of Emunah. We're about to get, hopefully today we'll get to the topic of how to work on Emunah, but we're still on the topic of Chinuch for Emunah. The last point we had was just prior to Purim, where we spoke about what does it mean to be in this world. And we commented on Haman, who was not in this world, even though he had all of his kinah and his tiber and his covered, but the moment he saw Mordechai, it all vanished. And we're going through those three topics of kinah, tiber, and covered, and saying how they vanquish a person, take them out of this world. Hamivin umakir ki olam hazeh hu olam avoda v'chi gemul ha-tzadikim shamur lehem l'olam haba dafka nizhar me'od miradof achar kavod. Someone who believes this world is the end world, this is everything it's about, then their peak that they're aiming for is to have other people recognize them here in this world. That's their whole goal. Their whole definition of success is that others recognize them. It's a true thing that we should want others to recognize us, but that's given to us not for this world. It's given to us for the next world. And it's either or. If a person is seeking honor in this world, it's at the expense of the next world. And if a person is looking to do it because it's right, not because he wants other people to recognize him, then he will get honor, but he'll save it for where it's really important. You know, there was an experiment done many years ago where they offered children either a candy now, and they could eat it now, or if they would hold out, they would wait 10-15 minutes, then they would get two candies. And some of the kids were strong and some weren't strong. And the ones who weren't strong were less successful in life in general, as they continued like following, tracking their lives. And the ones who were strong had displayed the ability to push through on something that's uncomfortable for them in order to achieve more greatness later. And they were more successful in life. I mean, everything in life is like it. If you're in university and you want to be successful, but there are more exciting things going on, but then there's work to do, so the people who are able to say, I'll put my exciting things on the side now because I want to push through and be successful in my degree, they're more likely to be successful and get a degree. If a person's in the middle of Seder and he's about to understand an idea, but then there's a meal, and he says, oh, meal time, gotta go, and he leaves it, and he rushes off. Then he gets the meal, and he gets that first piece of schnitzel, which is, you know, definitely a miler. But then when he gets back to that sugya again, it's like having to start all the way from the beginning, and who says it's going to necessarily understand? But if he just pushes through without understanding now, it could be the understanding now, after all that work that he's put in, then he wouldn't have got if he would have. He's willing to see something through. That's a mashal for this whole world. This whole world is a world of gratification. It's just a question of when you're looking to get that gratification. People who are this world orientated, then they want olam ha-zeh. Zeh in the Torah is always something which you can see in front of you when you point at it. Zeh, this. This is what I want. Zeh, immediate gratification. Religious, spiritual people are also looking for gratification. Just they're willing to say, I recognize that it's worthwhile holding out because the real gratification is going to come from what I'm building towards a much greater picture, a much greater vision, olam ha-ba, which is still going to come. Honor is the major test of that. If someone wants honor, then they're going to not finish the job, but they're going to say, did you notice? Did you see? Did you see? Oh, thank God everyone knows this. I'm worthy. I have worth. I have self-worth. Because other people recognize me. And then they don't continue growing because they've got their worth. Because other people said they're okay. However, if your orientation is not about getting my honor immediately, then you don't pause at any point. You keep going and you keep going and you keep going and you keep going. And you're able to build and build and build and build and build. And what you eventually create is much greater. You get real honor long term by... I mean, just one example of that, and I've mentioned this many times, is that my wife's mother, the Rebbetzin, so she said that in a way, there's a certain level of bracha that my father-in-law passed away young, in the sense that he never, ever, ever looked for honor. He was always pushing away honor. He would always like walk in the back of the room, sit at the back, and he wasn't like showing you that he wasn't looking for honor. He just wasn't looking for honor. Like, it was not his way at all, at all, at all. And then now, when he passed away, if he would have passed away when he was like much older, then everyone would have forgotten about him and everything, because he'd been, let's say, senile for a number of years, it probably wouldn't have happened. But he passed away in a way where he got a tremendous amount of honor. A tremendous amount. Dafka because he was never looking for it. Dafka because he wasn't looking for it. That's what, and you could see it, like, everyone was speaking about him. So they couldn't understand, like, how he could be so great in Torah, but never looking for anyone. And it's very, very clear. There was a particular place I was once in, where there were two rabbis. And one rabbi was extremely humble. Very outspoken, but humble. And the other rabbi was extremely honor-orientated. I'll just give an example of how honor-orientated he was. I didn't realize what was happening at the time until I realized. He said, we had a shiur with him. And then he said, okay, now I want everyone to come outside. And he had some kind of boy following him. Like a young avrech, something following him. And then he like stood outside, and then he said, gather around, gather around. And he didn't say anything real, he just said, thank you everyone for coming, and it was nice to give you a shirt today. And then I noticed this boy was like walking around with the camera, and like he just wanted it for the pose, just so that everyone would see how. And it was sickening, sickening, sickening. It was like horrible. Like, I don't want to learn Torah from this person who is all about his honor. And the other rabbi, who was like, they were joint, they were in a kind of a partnership together. And this other rabbi, he like had no issue of himself, like he was not interested in honor, he wanted to teach Torah. Anyway, time went on. The good rabbi, he advanced and advanced and advanced and advanced. And today he's in a very, very high position. He's one of the most influential people in Israel today, in the role that he's in. And the other rabbi is still in the same position, the initial position he was in now, which is very clear, because someone is looking for honor. So then, who wants to give him honor? No one wants to give him honor, because like he's taking it for himself. So you've got your honor, you keep it where you are. And he can remain stuck in that lower place. The other rabbi who, now, I want to be careful with my words, what I'm saying now, because I implied that it was worthwhile what the good rabbi did, because he got real honor. But no, really, the real honor he's going to get is the next level. Meaning, the fact that he's got a very influential position today is irrelevant. Even if he wouldn't have got promoted, it wouldn't be the point. It's like that it's authentic and it's genuine. It's Olam Haba. The Rosh writes in Orchot Chaim, which is a Musaf Sefer that the Rosh wrote, be careful that you don't get your reward in this world. Because it's either or. And if you look to get paid up in this world, then it's at the expense of it. I'm sure everyone's familiar with the famous story of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Hanina and his wife were eating a meal, and she was upset. How could it be that you're such a Talmid Chacham, we don't have any money? And so he said, if you want it, we can do it. And he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a golden leg. Golden leg came from Shemayim, came down. And his wife was happy, and they were going to use for sell it, and they were going to have lots of money. And that night, he had a dream, and in the dream, he saw him and his wife in Shemayim, and everyone was sitting at a three-legged table, and his wonky table only had two legs. And he realized that he'd been given reward that was supposed to be in the next world, here in this world, but it was the expense. You daven for it, you can get it, doesn't mean it's good for you. And he said to his wife, it's not a good idea. It's the expense of the next world. And he davened that it should be taken back. And the Gemara says, a hand came down and took the leg back. And the Gemara says, the second miracle was much greater than the first. Because the first miracle was chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving to him what he asked for. And that's the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give chesed. The second miracle, to take away something, it was against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nature, to take away the chesed given. But since it was for the ultimate chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. But it was the greater miracle. So the Rosh says, be careful not to get your reward. Don't look for it. If you look to get reward here in this world, if you're looking for honor, then that's going to be the expense. Now I want to differentiate, obviously, that when someone's younger, or when someone's not yet fully developed to the point where they still need a sense of recognition of what they're doing, just to learn that's a good thing, it's very, very important to give honor. And I would even say it's important for the person to allow himself to receive honor. When a person's still not yet solid and stable in his recognition of who he is and what he is. Let me just clarify that point clearly. A young child doesn't know what's right and what's wrong. How do they learn what's right and what's wrong? From the feedback that they get. You know, I gave the example once before. They take a ball and they throw the ball on the floor. Everyone says, Skoya! They take their father's phone and throw it on the floor and shouting at him. What's the difference? I threw something on the floor. It's the same thing. No, that's good. That's not good. How does a child know? They have no way of knowing. They look for the feedback. When you give a child honor in certain things that he does, that's how he knows what's good and what's not good. As you develop, you have more of an inner compass, an inner recognition of what's good and what's not good. And you learn that through honor initially, through people giving you good feedback. And you giving yourself feedback. I feel happy, I did a good thing, I'm happy with what I did. Until you get to a point where you're so solid in yourself, that you know so objectively that what you're doing is good and right and the will of Hashem, until you get to that point, it's healthy and encouraged to receive honor and give yourself honor and accept honor, because it's still solidifying you in the path of being good, of being right. And therefore you need it. Not for the sake of the honor, but for the sake of ensuring that you're doing well. They will come, and therefore it's encouraged. And I can tell you clearly about myself that I don't help out as much as I should at home. And when my wife compliments me, when she says to me, oh, thank you for helping with this over that, it strengthens my will to help out at home. So I need honor at home in the topic of helping out at home. I need honor because I'm not yet solid in my recognition of my obligation, how much I need to help out there. And whenever I get honor in having helped out at home, then it strengthens my will to help out. So I'm, you know, weak in that area. I'm not mature in that area. And the honor is helping me become more solid in my recognition. This is what I need to do. So it's healthy and encouraged in that area. Please God, one day, I'll mature fully in that area. And I'll come to the recognition that I should help out at home without needing encouragement, without needing being given honor. And then I won't want it. And at that point, I'll say, like, if it's given, I'll be respectful. But I won't, like, feel like I need it. Now I feel like I need it still. If I help out at home, I feel like I need, did you notice that I did this? I wouldn't say that, but like I do want it, I do appreciate it. So it's healthy. However, once a person's got to that place and he knows what's right and what's wrong, he should not be looking for honor, he should not be requesting honor, because it's taking away from Rabbi Chanina Mendes. V'ad heichan ha'devarim megiim, mevaer Rabbeinu Yonah v'sefer ha'yira. V'odo b'beit ha'knesset, this is a quote from Rabbeinu Yonah. V'odo b'beit ha'knesset, אני אדבר דברי חול עם אדם, ואף כי בשעת קראת התורה. ואם ישבו אצלו בן אדם ומדברים, יניע בשפתיו, וידמה עצמו כמתפלל. ואל יתפאר לומר, איני מדבר. כי כל המתפאר כמעט יונותן את שכרו. You're sitting in shul, so good to speak. You don't have to speak during davening, you don't have to speak during קראת התורה. What happens if someone comes up to you and stops speaking? What do you do? So option number one is to say you're not supposed to speak during davening. Option number two is to pretend you're davening. So I would think, don't do that. That's not being authentic. But Rabbeinu says, do that. Pretend you're davening. Why don't you say to them, you're not allowed to? Because then you're taking honor for yourself. You're saying, I'm holier than you. What you're doing is wrong. I'm more of a tzaddik. I don't speak during davening. It's almost as if you're elevating yourself above them. In this respect. Says, and then you would lose the reward for what you're doing. It's a harsh language. It says, Ki hamit pa'er, if you elevate yourself and glorify yourself over the fact that you're more righteous than this other person, kimat, not fully, but kimat, it's almost as if you've lost out the reward of not speaking because you're arrogant or proud of yourself for the fact that you did this good thing. It was very careful. Embarrassing thing I want to share with myself as quickly. I was open before about something else. I'll be open about something else now. Kind of it goes in a flow. When I was in Shana Aleph, it's a very long story, but I went somewhere for Shabbos to have an experience. And in that place that I went to, then it was a weird place. And there was someone there who was on a 40-day Tanit Dibur. And the way I found this out was that I asked him to pass me something and he just, And then I said, what's going on? And then his other friend said, he's not speaking for 40 days. And I saw him singing Zmiris on Shabbat. I said, oh, he is talking. I go, no, he does speak Kedusha. He sings Zmiris, he davens, he learns Torah. He doesn't speak mundane things. Anyway, so I obviously thought I'm much greater than I am, so I came back to Yeshiva and I said, I'm doing that as well. But I didn't want to do it for 4 days because I wasn't sure I'd be able to handle it. But if it ever happened that I spoke Lashon Hara, then the following day, as a tikkun, I did a Tanis Dibble. And I liked it very much. I felt it was very beneficial. It was like a real tikkun in the area that I'd sinned in. And it was a way of me balancing out. Anyway, exactly like Rabbeinu Yonah said there, Hamit Pa'er Kimat Noteret Tzcharo, the first couple of times that I did it, I made a big issue of letting everyone know that I was doing it. And I wrote notes to people, can't speak there, I'm on a time table, can you ask someone else for me to do something else? And like my friends are saying to me, are you sure this is the right thing to do? And then my rab came to me and I didn't speak to him. I'm on a time table, sorry, I'm on a time table. And I did that twice. And then I was like, this is definitely not the will of Hashem. Like, I'm showing off to everyone how holy and righteous I am, that I'm not speaking to them on a time table. And then I found a much better way of doing it, that you can speak the basic things that you need to speak. Like, enough that you need to just to get away with no one knowing that you're on a Tanis Dibur. But not, like, open conversations which would lead to just stunt conversation. And that was a good thing. From then on, after two times, whenever I'd speak Lashon Hara, I would take on a Tanis Dibur in a way that I would only speak the minimum that I need. So if I say Shalom to someone, greet someone, speak to a Rebbe, of course. If someone asks me a question, I would give them a brief answer. But I wouldn't get into conversations that following day, just to ensure that I wouldn't get to anywhere close to speaking Lashon Hara. But the first point that... where I first took it, it was the exact opposite of what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to become more righteous. And here I am, showing off to everyone how righteous I am. You lose all the rewards for trying to be righteous. So therefore, kama harodef achar kavod rachoku mebirut emun ba'olam haba. So his whole principle is the emun, right? So someone who's looking for honor is expressing they don't believe there's a next world. They believe that I have to get all the honor I can now. Let me chap all the honor I can here in this world. Because why don't you wait, and then when you'll get the real reward after having waited on them? I don't know what's going to be there. I want to invest now. If I can get, if I have an opportunity, you know, if you get candy, if you get sweets, right? If you leave it for a while, someone might steal it. And who knows what's going to happen? So you just eat everything you can right now to make sure that you won't lose anything. At least get anything. Yeah, exactly what happens. A person tries to get all the honor here in this world. It's sickening, and then they get later on when it's time to really get the one. There's no sweets left. There's no candy left. What we've learned from the words of the Rambam are the following. The world of a person is designated by his clarity that the real world is the spiritual world. When you live in this world, there's two levels you can live in this world. There's the level of the physical world, the rules of the physical world, and that could be the end. That's all there is. Or there is the physical world, but you recognize that there is an inner spiritual force behind all the physical world. Yes, I believe in all the physical rules. I'm not denying all of the rules of nature. I believe in that. But there's a lot more beyond that. There's forces that are... There's a design, divine design that creates all these forces and why they work and how they work and what they're geared towards. And yes, I believe in learning about history and learning from the mistakes of history. But I also believe there's a divine force that's guiding history in a particular way. And I believe in learning about politics and being active in politics. But I also believe there's some sort of divine hand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the hearts of the kings in certain ways to guide them towards some divine providence that's guiding the world in a particular way. So at the same time as I'm aware of the physical world, I'm also aware there's a spiritual world. And to be truth, although I do take care of myself physically in the physical world, my primary world is the spiritual world. My primary world is the world of Tikkun HaMidot. My primary world is the world of recognition that God is behind things and run things. My primary world is that if bad things are happening, there's a message to take from it. Not just that it'll make me feel better that there's like some meaning in it, but there authentically is a real meaning in it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the whole world towards. And as I recognize Hashkacha Pratis, and as I gear my life towards Olam Haba, my emuna is deepened, my desires vanish, kina, jealousy, evaporates, honor, these three things which take a person out of this world are no longer relevant to me. They no longer affect me. I'm not inflicted by them anymore because I've risen above them. A person becomes elevated above those three base things that take him out of the world because he's in the true world, the world of the spiritual world of Emunah. And therefore, if a person wants to work on his Emunah, the way that he trains himself in that area is by paying attention anytime he sees that he's got an inkling towards Taiva, is to remind himself of these principles. When he has an inclination towards jealousy, to remind himself of these principles, and when he has an inclination towards the honor, remind himself of these principles. If I'm in this world, because Hashem wants me to be here, if I only have certain things, that's all God wants me to have, but it's what I need in order to fulfill my mission. If someone else has something, that's exactly what he needs, I don't need that. And if I have desire, I channel it towards desire for higher things, for Hashem's will. I have exactly what I need. If I don't have it, I don't need it. Emuna, koach emuna hu lismoch al zulat velo lachshod bo chinam. So one of the basic principles of emuna is you rely on others, you rely on Hashem, you rely on other people, you're not choshish other people. How foolish is it when a person goes around the world suspecting everyone? Midat achshad. It strangles the feeling of brotherlyhood, of caring for another person, of wanting to connect with another person. And within a person, it burns out, it eradicates all the good midas which emanate from good friendships. The way that we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with the mashal that we have of how we come close to other people. As we develop healthy relationships with others, that becomes the foundation to the healthy relationship we have with Hashem. If a person leads their life with suspecting everyone and thinking everyone's out to get them and everyone's the enemy and what's your trick, what are you trying to do? That's how they relate to every other person. Then they're suffering in this world in the way they relate to other people. Everyone who's kosher, they say he's not kosher. Everyone who's got good intentions, they say, oh, what's your trick? When they come to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they do the same thing. What does God want from me? What's he trying to get from me? Why? I'm going to show him the dafka not. I overheard a very interesting conversation with Rav Day and someone else, I don't know who he is. Person saying, I'm not being vaccinated. But they said, why not? Rav Day was quite harsh with this. So he said, because I think that the politicians, they have an agenda. So Rav Day said, let's say they do. Let's say that there is some politician somewhere out there who's using this as part of his political agenda. So why should you kill your grandmother because of that? Like, yes, maybe someone's misusing it, but you're choshesh him and therefore you're harming yourself. Why should you harm yourself and harm people around you just because of... It may be true that someone's misusing it. Maybe someone out there is worthy of being choshesh. Maybe you have to be careful that someone's misusing something. That doesn't mean you take away the basic sense of trust of taking care of yourself and having the foundation to have a relationship with Hashem. Ha'al gedolei olam lo yifsa. And then they start being choshesh also gedolei. Then they start relating to gedolim also, say, that rabbi's got an agenda, the other rabbi's got an agenda, he's got his chas v'shalom, and they'll be choshesh them as well. Then you'll start to be choshesh his ancestors. Maybe my ancestors, they lived in an era where they had different issues, they had different agendas, it didn't apply, it doesn't apply today. Eventually, it will go all the way back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in a warped way, when they're basing their life on reviewing everyone as being negative intentions, they'll even have to apply that, because that's the way we relate to Hashem. We relate to Hashem the way we relate to others. As the Chovos Levavos says, don't suspect your ancestors. Everything they transfer to you comes from an element of truth. Comes from an element of love. Don't contradict them. Because the only way you can grow and develop your own das is to base your das on the das that came before you. It's a stepping stone. Every generation builds another level, but it has to be on the generations that came before you. And if someone accuses his ancestors, it says, Dor tahor be'inav, a generation which they think they're the best generation ever, they're righteous, umetzahato lo rochetz, they don't cleanse themselves of the excrement, Dor aviv yikrael, they're cursing their ancestors. We have one more very short paragraph on this chapter, and Rez Hashem tomorrow we'll finish it, and then we'll move on to a very tangible and practical way to build one's image.